Paschal Week is a period in the year where the Church relives hour by hour all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Upper Room Media presents to you the Paschal Week sermons.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I wasn't aware that there'd be four priests in the service today, so it's very embarrassing for me to come and give a sermon in front of four priests, but thank you for giving me the opportunity, fathers. I was recently helping my little son with his maths homework, and I was asking him, what's 20 plus 20? And he said, 40. I said, very good, good boy, 40, good. Okay, what's 30 plus 30? 40. I said, no, Baba, think. It doesn't matter what your answer is, it matters what's in here. It doesn't matter what you say, think. And similarly, I was also helping my daughter with her maths homework, and a very simple question came up for her, easy. Do the next number in the rhythm that's on mathematics, you know, on a computer. 5, 10, 15, what's the next number? And she accidentally wrote, someone answered, she accidentally wrote 21. And then she clicked OK, and then it gave her a big X wrong. She was devastated. Oh, crying, Daddy, I knew it, Daddy, I knew it. I said, it's okay, Papa. What matters is in here, not what's on there. And so the last few days, as we read the Gospels, that's exactly what Jesus has been teaching us, that he cares about what's inside, not what's outside. That's what matters to him, that what is outside doesn't always match what is inside. When what is inside is right, eventually what is outside will match. But not always, especially when we're a bit intentional. And that's what he was talking about when he rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. So the last few days, a lot of it is about hypocrisy. This idea of showing something that I'm not. Which my son did with his maths homework. And so that's what hypocrisy is. Now, when we look at today's events, there's not much events that happen when we read the Gospels of today. Okay, we take a time out, or the church takes a time out, and focuses on preaching or teachings that God gives us. So Christ gives us a series of teachings around two major topics. It's the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, and the end of the world. And I wanted to focus a little bit on the notion of the kingdom of God, because the church takes time out for a reason, to teach us ideas, what Christ wants us to learn about the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is a message to Christ that's very, very important, because we're reading the last moments before he gets betrayed, and then he goes and gets killed, and then he resurrects. So it's the final moments before the end. And this is the teaching that he chooses to teach. That this is, you know, if someone's been preaching all their life and they've got a big message to teach, the thing that they just guys, focus on this. Please remember this. Please remember, this is the kingdom of heaven. And it's not only the end that he finishes that way, but also the beginning of his message is exactly the same. So if you go right to the beginning of Mark's gospel, Christ begins his service by saying, the time is fulfilled. He starts by preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So this notion of the kingdom of God is something very important to Christ. It's something that he wants us to understand about. He doesn't want us to just think that there's this place that you're going to eventually go to one day. This utopian, colorful, nice little world that one day you're going to end up above the clouds. He wants us to understand ideas about the kingdom of heaven. And he taught a lot of lessons about the kingdom of heaven. And so I thought today to just take some of these lessons from what Christ teaches us about the kingdom of heaven. And then look at why then does he hate hypocrisy? Why then is hypocrisy something that blocks us from the kingdom of heaven. Why then does he teach so much against hypocrisy? So the first thing to understand, and we're going to go through a series of things about the kingdom of heaven. The first one is, unfortunately for us, that there is an inclusion and an exclusion criteria to the kingdom of God. If you go through all the teachings about the kingdom of God, there's always some inside and some outside. When you go to the teachings about the virgins, five in, five out. There's a banquet. The wedding guests are not in. The people from the streets are in. He says, there's two men in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women grinding at the mill, one in, one out. So there is, I mean, a lot of people like to teach that everyone's going to be saved in the end. And maybe they will, that's up to God. But reading clearly, Christ is trying to tell us that there's an inclusion and an exclusion criteria. And hypocrisy is one of those things that excludes us from the kingdom of God. It's one of the main things that will... It's like a criteria. If you exhibit this, you cannot be inside. You cannot. And it's recognizable. You know the parable of the virgins. And then suddenly there's one amongst them who says... And God says, why aren't you wearing a garment? How come you're here and you're not wearing a garment? So the funny thing about hypocrisy is that we try and look a certain way, but God cannot be fooled. You cannot convince God you are something when you're not. So God cannot be fooled. And so it is an exclusion criteria. And the language is so sharp against hypocrites that Jesus says to them, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? So it's really sharp criticism. Very strong words. So it's something we have to take very seriously. And God teaches about it a lot, which means it applies to a lot of us. It's not something that only few have this problem. It must be that a lot of us have this problem if Christ is going to teach about it a lot. So we have to take the problem of hypocrisy seriously. The second thing about the kingdom of God is that God says it multiple times that it's eternal. It's eternal. All the parables have this idea of eternity in mind. And when he kicks them out, it's eternal darkness. And when you're inside, it's eternal light. So it's something forever. So all the punishments are forever. All the rewards are forever. So Christ is trying to redirect their minds to something eternal. He says, don't focus on temporal. Focus on eternal. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, he says that the things of God are forever. But only the things of God are forever. Nothing else is forever. Only the things of God are forever. So the efforts we put, the spiritual efforts we put, are forever. But the things that we spend 99% of our lives chasing, more than 99% of our lives chasing, money, wealth, status, pleasures, passions, relationships, they're not forever. So we spend so much time chasing things that will not last you forever. And so God is saying, focus on forever. Redirect your mind. The kingdom of God is forever. The kingdom here is not. The kingdom you create for yourself in your life, the houses you build, the family you build, the legacy you leave, is not forever. But God is forever. And so what then is the problem with hypocrisy? The problem with hypocrisy is that its focus is temporal. When all I care about is how I look in front of people, how I appear, how I seem on the outside but the inside doesn't match, there's a temporary reward to that. I can fool man. I can fool the people around me, but I cannot fool God. So there's a temporary reward. You know, and that's why he gives the example of the fig tree. You know, the fig tree has leaves. So anyone walking past who wants to eat, they'll see the leaves, they'll get excited, they'll get all the way up to the tree and then realize, oh, there's no fruit here. So they're fooled by it. We can fool the world around us, but you can't fool God. And so there is a focus on temporary things when we are hypocritical. So God is trying to redirect our minds, say, focus on what's eternal. Focus on what's eternal. Spend your energy on what's eternal, not on what is temporary. The other way that God describes it is that if the Pharisees preferred the praise of men than the praise of God. So they prefer the praise of people who are temporal to the praise of God who is eternal. And so that focus is wrong. That mindset is wrong. And so God is saying, redirect your ideas. Change the way you think. Sometimes you have to look stupid in front of people to look good in front of God. That's the reality. So don't worry the way people look at you. Worry more about the way God looks at you. The third thing about the kingdom of God is that it's defined by the presence of the king. So the way that the Gospels, particularly Luke's Gospel, describes the kingdom of God, he says that there was a certain man who went out, and there was a man who went out. And the man is the kingdom of God. And the man, of course, is God. So the kingdom of God is defined by him, by his character, by who he is, by his presence, by where God is, where Christ is. That's the kingdom of God. And that's what he's trying to say when he gives these parables. And you can only enter this kingdom by knowing the king. You can't enter the kingdom without knowing the king. I remember once when Pope Shenouda was visiting, you know, people were, I was a kid, I was really young, and the places were crowded, like way crowded. And I was really small, so they looked much more crowded than they probably even were at the time. And I remember once I was trying to get in at St. Mark's Church through the door. And of course, they're not going to let this kid in. You know, who's this kid? And then, but my dad was kind of helping with the organization committee and whatever. So then I went to my dad. I said, "Dad, they're not letting me in." He goes, "Don't worry, come with me." He grabs my hand and just yanked me in and walked me all the way to wherever I wanted to go. I said, "Wow, I know the king, you know. I know the guy that can get you in, you know." And it's the same with the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without knowing the king. You have to know who God is. You have to know who his character is, what he's like, how to communicate with him. If you don't know who he is, you can't be part of the kingdom. In the parable of the 10 virgins again, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." So it's phrased in the language of knowledge. You don't know me, I don't know you. And if I don't know you, I don't recognize you, you can't be here. Unfortunately, we can look like we know God, but we actually don't. We can appear as though we know God. We can talk like we know God, but we actually don't know him. We know nothing about his character, about his nature, about who he is, the way he interacts, what softens his heart, how he answers your prayer. We have no idea. And so you can't be part of the kingdom. And the problem again with hypocrisy is that you cannot know God in hypocrisy. Because God is not a hypocrite. God in his nature is unified. What he shows is who he is. And the whole purpose of the Bible, the whole purpose of the Bible is God to reveal himself as he is. He wants to reveal himself to us, and we're supposed to get to know him through the way he interacts with humanity, the way he interacts with you. The whole purpose of everything we do with God is that he's revealing himself to us. So he's not showing something that he's not. And so he can't have someone in his kingdom that is doing that because they just don't know him. Because if we knew him, we couldn't behave that way. Again, we get the concept, the idea, when he says in the same chapter of the virgins, he says, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom." And he says, "Why are you blessed? The blessed of the Father, why are you blessed?" "Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me." All these things. And he said, "As much as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." But unfortunately, there was a whole group of people that appeared to do those things. And so when he said, "You didn't do this for me," they said, "When? What do you mean? What do you mean we didn't? We did do it. For sure we did it." So they appeared to do it. But really, he says, "No, you didn't. You didn't do it for the least of my brethren. You didn't do it for me. You didn't care about those in need. You didn't care about those who are suffering. Therefore, you didn't do it to me." And he gives that principle. Because hypocrisy is self-driven. It's not other-driven. It's not God-driven. And that's why hypocrisy cannot inherit the kingdom of God. because it just cannot know who God is. It's impossible for someone who is hypocritical to know God. It just, they don't match. The next lesson about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is something that has to be fought for. It's not something that comes easy. It's not something that is meant to just come passively. It's an active process to reach the kingdom of God. That's why we have the parables of the kingdom of God closely associated with the end times. Because Christ is showing us, or the church is showing us, that there's great tribulation. And then you have to work through that tribulation to enter the kingdom. You have to work through that tribulation to be saved at the end. So in Matthew, we read, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." And another verse from Matthew, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." So Christ is saying you have to work hard, you have to dedicate yourself, you have to violently go for the kingdom of God. It's not something that's going to come to you passively. It needs a dedication. It needs full participation. It can't have half participation. It can't have apparent participation. It can't be just, "I come and stand in the church and I do what I need to do, tick a few boxes, and then I'm going to have the kingdom of heaven. I learn a few hymns. I learn a few key verses so I understand what they teach you in Sunday school, and therefore I'm going to have the kingdom of heaven." He says, no, the violent take it by force. So it needs a lot of work. Again, what's the problem with hypocrisy then? The problem with hypocrisy is that you fight for the wrong things. You spend all your energy, instead of actually trying to change the internal person, instead of actually trying to develop virtue, instead of actually trying to please God, "All I'm trying to do is please men. All I'm trying to do is appear a certain way, to look a certain way." And there's so much energy in that that's wasted when it should be directed towards pleasing God. And so we all that energy is busy expended on pleasures, on wealth, on honor, on dignity, on everything else in my life. And therefore, I just put on a facade and in this direction towards God. I'll just say a quick Our Father at the end of the night every day. If that. And I don't do much more than that because I just don't care. What I care about is the other things. And that's the problem again with hypocrisy. So again, the kingdom of heaven must be fought for. If the energy is wasted, you will not fight for the kingdom of heaven. I think we're up to the fifth thing. Now, the fifth thing about the kingdom of heaven is that the way Christ puts it, he says, the kingdom of heaven is upon you, is now, is imminent, is here. That's the way Christ puts it. That it's here now. Be ready. Be watchful. Be careful. It's here. The language is urgent. Please be ready. Don't wait till tomorrow. You don't know if the master finds you sleeping or beating the men servants and maid servants and eating and drinking and being drunk. He says, be careful. You have to be ready because the kingdom of heaven is upon you. It's here now. So God's giving us this sense that time is short. Time is short. You know, that there's going to come a time when I run out of time. That's too late. So I have to be careful. And again, what then is the problem of hypocrisy if time is short? The problem is that when I put on a facade and I'm happy with the way I appear in front of people, that I'll be lazy. I'll be complacent in the spiritual things. I won't be diligent expecting God now. I won't be found in morality. I'll be found in immorality. I'll be found in sleep, not in prayer. I'll be found fighting, not at peace. I'll be found chasing money, not giving money. So I'll be found in the wrong place. And so we get lazy. And we get, again, the idea of the parable of the talents, which again we read today. The idea that, you know, they all had talents, and then one of them goes and hides it. I mean, for two reasons. One, he misunderstood God. He didn't understand, so I said, he didn't know the king. So he was scared of the king, as opposed to being scared of the wrong thing. He misunderstood God. But the second thing, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. You lazy. You weren't ready for me. And another parable again. The head of the servants, he's just lazy. He thinks, God, he's not coming. He's delaying his coming. So he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, eat and drink and be drunk. And then he says, give him his portion with the hypocrites. Give him his portion with the hypocrites. So it's very scathing about the wicked and lazy servant. And again, the problem when I'm quite happy with how I appear in front of people is that, again, I stop caring about how I appear in front of God and I become very complacent and lazy. And I allow sins to build and grow. I don't care so much about things that are developing in my life, in my heart. As I said, what God cares about is in Him. And it's building and building and building. But as long as no one can see it, that's okay. I let it build and build and build. Envy, anger, pride, lust. It's growing, growing, growing. But no one can see it. So I just leave it to grow. I become lazy with it. And then I'm caught when he says, imminently, the kingdom is here. And I'm in my impurity. Or I'm in my envy and anger and rage and lack of peace and conflict. And so we have to be careful that the kingdom of heaven is upon us. So, and hypocrisy leaves us to be complacent and lazy. The last lesson about the kingdom of heaven, which is the most positive, is the idea that the kingdom of heaven is not yet. It's here, as I said to you in a minute, it's upon you, it's coming, it's imminent. But God also wants us to have this contrast in our minds that there's time. Don't panic yet. Panic enough to make a change, but don't think you don't have time for a change. Don't think that tonight you can't make a change. Tonight, this week. You can't come and change the way that I think, the way that I behave. I adjust my lifestyle, remove certain relationships. Because God is saying there is time. There is still time. You can taste the kingdom of heaven here. You can taste it here. You just have to make the change now. He said, yes, you can't wait till tomorrow, but you can do it now. And so he wants us to have this thing in our minds that I need to make a change. I've got to make a change. But at the same time, there's just enough time for me to adjust. So work hard at that. And that's the most positive thing about the kingdom of heaven, is the idea that there is still time. There is still time for me to give up a relationship that's drowning me. There's still time for me to kick a pornography addiction. There's still time for me to give up my anger or to make peace with someone or to forgive someone. There's always time. It's never too late to adjust. It's never too late to pick up a service. Never too late to come and confess to a priest. It's never. And so there's always time for me. So again, the solution to the hypocrisy, the solution is that I care more about God than I do of men. And that even if I humiliate myself in front of men, as long as I'm comfortable in front of God, as long as I am working internally, the internal man, the thing that God sees, the garment that God sees, that is clean. That's not to say that my behavior doesn't matter. My behavior matters. He said it clearly. He said clearly that you didn't do it to the least of my brethren. But the behavior is not my goal. The internal is my goal. And then from that comes my behavior. From that, my behavior will come naturally. And so I'll be honored in front of men for my integrity, not for my hypocrisy. There's a big difference. Someone like Pope Krolos, he was dishonored by some people. But in the end, he was honored even by men because of his integrity, not his hypocrisy. So I should be focusing not what's outside, but what's inside. And then what's outside will come naturally. The peace will come naturally. The forgiveness will come naturally. The purity will come naturally, as long as I'm working internally. So I can be ready for the kingdom of God. So I'll just summarize quickly that a lot of the readings that we read about today are about the kingdom of God. There's a few main lessons we learn about the kingdom of God. One, that the kingdom of God is eternal, not temporal, and God is focusing our minds on eternal things. Two, that the kingdom of God is the presence of the king, and I must know who the king is to be able to be in the kingdom. Number three, the kingdom of heaven needs to be fought for. My energy needs to be directed towards achieving that as opposed to anything else. Number five, the kingdom of God is coming. It's imminent. It's now. It's upon you. It's inside you. So time is short. Don't be lazy. Don't be complacent. Number six, I think, the kingdom of heaven is not yet. There is still time to care more about God than men. There's still time to care more about God than pleasure. There's still time to work on my internal life. Thank you very much for having me and for listening. Thank you, fathers, for giving me the chance. Glory be to God forever.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.